pastored. That's a great story. John chapter 2, that happened a long time ago. How does this relate to my life and the shame that I experience in my own life? That's a message for us to take home here today. You see, 800 years before Jesus performed this miracle, there were a bunch of prophets walking around in the Middle East. You know them well. And they talked about a messianic age in which wine would flow and joy would come in abundance. So I'm just going to name a couple of those passages. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 12. In that text, Jeremiah says this, "The day of the Lord is coming, in which my people will come to Zion, and they will be overwhelmed with my light, and they will be overwhelmed with wine." Hosea, the prophet Hosea in chapter 14, Hosea says, "The day is coming when my people will dwell beneath my shadow, and they will blossom like a vine." In other words, wine will come, is what Hosea is saying. Amos chapter 9, verse 13 and 14, just a beautiful passage here as well. In that passage, it ultimately says, "The day is coming when sweet wine will run down from the mountaintops and flow down into the valleys down below." If you go to Isaiah 25, this isn't just one prophet. Prophet after prophet after prophet is saying this. Isaiah 25 says this, "The day of the Lord is coming when the Lord will prepare for all people a rich feast, and he will give age-old wine." Why is there wine so much mentioned in the Old Testament? Ultimately, it was pointing to this first miracle of Jesus Christ. Jesus was saying, all the things that were spoken 800 years ago about a Messiah coming and flowing, allowing wine to flow and the best of wine to flow. This is me. This is what this was about. And what this ultimately was about is Jesus was the Messiah to overcome all sorts of shame and disgrace in life. If you're connected to him, joy flows abundantly. So if you're sad, joy comes. If you're disgraced or shameful, you can walk with confidence. If you're dry and anxious, you can be full connected to Jesus. And you might also be saying, well, how can one person really change my fortunes and really change my shame into great joy? I'm reminded of a book that I read, I think it was the early years of high school, but then I think I reread it early years of college. The story is A Tale of Two Cities. That book is about two characters that are very much in love with the same woman. Their names are Sydney and Charles. And Charles wins the day. He gets the prize. He gets the woman, and they have a child together. But towards the end of the book, some terrible things happen to this man named Charles. He is charged with a crime and thrown into a dungeon in a prison cell. And in that prison cell, he is distraught and despairing. The next day, he is to be executed, and he feels disgrace and great shame, partially because he's separated from his wife and child who are outside the walls of the prison. We also get the impression in the story that the woman and child feel disgrace because the husband is jailed and has brought down the family name. It's at that point in the story that the man named Sydney shows up from the very beginning of the book. Sydney looks just like Charles. You may remember the story. And he gets into the prison, gets down to the dungeon, and he knocks out Charles, punches him, knocks him out cold, and he has his friends take Charles out of the dungeon and freeze him. And Sydney takes Charles' place in the jail cell, puts on his clothing, and then Sydney ultimately goes to the guillotine, and he's executed, and he's put down to death. Charles is made free. And when you read that story, it's about one person who turned shame into freedom and confidence and joy. The right person at the right time in the right place. My friends, the good news for you today is that story is not just a story in a book. It's your story. Shame makes us feel like we're in a jail cell, like we're in a dungeon. Shame can even make us feel like we're trapped or like a turtle. We want to hide from everyone else. It can even lead us to a point in which we wish our life, our very life, would pass before us and that, you know, we can just go away. But Jesus is here. He's in our lives. And his wedding at Cana communicates something very important to us. He's able to cover our shame completely. Because very much so, he looks like us. He came and he died for us. He was rejected. And even though he didn't do anything wrong, and what has happened to us? We've been set free. We can walk with confidence and joy. We can live with great joy every day that we live of our lives. How can we know this? How can we know this to be true? My friends, the wine wasn't just poured out 2,000 years ago at the wedding at Cana. It's poured out for you every Sunday when we have communion. The wine is poured, but it's not just wine. It's his blood. He took your place. What we say here at Peace Lutheran is, take and drink. This cup is shed for you for the full forgiveness of all of your sins. Take and drink. The right person at the right time at the right place has taken your place, and your shame is covered, and you are given great joy. There's a great saint, Saint Teresa of Avila. She once said this, all the sadness that we experience, all the grief, all the pain that we experience will just simply be like one stay at a bad hotel at one night. In other words, what St. Teresa was saying is, it's not permanent. All the sadness that we experience, all the grief, it's just like one night that's not so comfortable, but it goes away. Let's go back to my quote in the beginning of the service. Shame dies when we share stories in safe places. This church is a safe place to share stories. Jesus is here. And in the months ahead when we pick up steam and we're able to gather more together, let this place be a place where we can share stories of pain and sorrow and even shame. Because the reality of it is, Jesus changes our fortunes completely with his presence. May that be something for us to think about and contemplate today, but also in the weeks and months ahead. Amen.